I want to wish you guys a happy new year. And it's exciting to be here on the very first day of the new year. And, you know, yeah, last night was New Year's Eve, and we had Christmas a week ago. So I just want to extend a special welcome, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you guys online, whether you're in person. And I know sometimes this year, December can be tough with loss and sometimes death and estrangement, but also lots of joy in the midst of all of those things. And I was focusing on this when I was coming in this morning, driving in. And the idea that at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, the famous passage about love, love is patient, and not always, it says that these three remain, faith, hope, and the grace of Jesus' love. And my prayer as I was walking in this morning, no matter what the last week has been like, this last year has been like, is that this idea of Christian hope extends out this year from us and into your lives. The Christian hope is not the same type of hope that the world has. It's not that I hope that the angels win the World Series, but I'm calling that now. I'm a baseball fan. Angels win the World Series. Now, it's not maybe a little empty and wishful thinking. That's how the world views hope. But Christian hope is the assurance of things unseen. We know that Christ has. We know that Christ has everything in our lives, that God holds us the palm of our hands. And we live in that assurance. So this year, you know, I was thinking about this, especially with this last song, the last song, that Jesus, have your way in me now. He wrote that in my policy. So I want you to remember that. That's the prayer that we have, that hope. I want us to live that out this year. No matter the troubles, the toils, the joys, the new births, the weddings, the marriages, all those things that come through our lives this year.
Is that we live in this Christian hope that we hold on to Jesus Christ. And I want to just commend Michelle for that prayer that Jesus has our way in our life now, not in the future. Let's not wait for another day. Let's not wait for the next hour. Let's not wait to go home or wait till school begins. Let's start living that out now in that Christian hope. You know, because the first of the year brings all these emotions. You know, it's sort of a made-up holiday because a lot of calendars, I mean, in Jesus' time, the calendar began in March. And we picked January 1st. But we use this time of the year to reflect. We reflect on what's past, the changes, and the resolutions we've made or not kept. And oftentimes, we kind of forget those things. We put them off to the side. And we don't learn from the issues and the struggles and the joys that we've had in our past. But that's what we're called to do. And that's what our series, Out of the Box, has really been about this Christmas, is realizing we're not called to live in expectations of society's Christmas. And we're not called to put Jesus, this baby who's come to sacrifice himself, in this box. Because that's what the world does. It has all these secular things going on with a slight religious overtone to it. But we as Christians are called to live outside of that box. To take Jesus out of the box, not to hold him into these four walls of this building or even the four walls of our lives. Pastor Craig on Christmas Day shared about taking Christ into our lives, out into the world, and being transformed by the miracle of the incarnation. And that's what we're talking about today. It is our call to let Jesus to be Jesus and to be radical and move throughout the universe and throughout our lives and into our communities. Over the last month, we've talked about those various ways we take Jesus out of the box, whether it's marriage or whether it's life or this baby that's come to us. And we get to determine now how we choose to live that out this next year. In the book of Acts, it comes after the four Gospels. The book of Acts really is this book on history of the first, you know, 30 years or so of the church. And Luke wrote this book describing walking through the early church. But it also talks about how to live and what to do. In the very beginning of the book, before Jesus ascends to heaven, he's been crucified, he's walked among us, he's given examples, he's prayed, he's healed people, and most importantly, he's taken all of our sin and shame on the cross. He's died, he's risen again, and he appears to the disciples. And he's given us eternal life and forgiveness of our sins. But he has these final instructions for us. And you have to think about this too, is we're bookending at this Christmas Jesus' birth and his death and his resurrection. And now we're talking about how to take that Jesus out in the world. And so he commands his disciples. He's meeting with his disciples. And he's talking about this new life that has been given to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says. Acts 1, 8 through 11 says this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He's not just talking to these men and these women that are standing there before he ascends to heaven. He's projecting this to us. He's saying, I, the people online, have the power of the Holy Spirit when we believe in who Christ is. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He promises to empower us with the Holy Spirit. That empowers us to go and be his witness. Now, this is not just a witness of, you know, going and doing and helping people off to the side. That is a huge amount of it. But the witness also is sharing the gospel message of why are we doing these things? Why are these things happening to us? It's to take Jesus out of the box and out of the walls of this building, out of the walls of any church, and into the world that's so broken and so hurting that's around us. And he's empowering us with the Holy Spirit. He's not empowering us on our own or power. We don't have our power to go and do these things. But with Christ in our lives, he empowers us. And I want you to look at these three things. He says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Jerusalem is where they are. It's their locality. I want to think about this. When we talk about taking Jesus out of the box, taking our lives out of the church into the world, he says you're to go to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, I want you to think, it's up on the screen, is the street you live on. Is the family that you're with, is your friends, it's your neighborhood, it's your locality. You know, do the people on your street know that you're Christians? Do they know the love of Jesus Christ? Does your family and your friends? So we're called to go to our local people. And then he says, Judea. Judea is kind of that region, okay? That's the region that Jerusalem was in. So the city, the state, but also think about this too, your sports teams that you're on, the schools you're in, your workplace. These are not necessarily your localities or the streets or the blocks you're on, but these are the next level, the next little region. How do we witness and take Jesus out to a broken and hurting world through the power of the Holy Spirit to our cities and locations? And then he says to Samaria, this is, you know, the country, you know, the world, the places, the state, North Carolina, South Carolina. So, and then he says, to the ends of the earth. So in other words, when Jesus says, you know, who's your neighbor? And he says, everyone, that's where we're called to go, is everywhere. Not this is a wishful thinking. Oh, you know, if you have time, this is the Holy Spirit has empowered us to do it. And this is one of the last things that he says to his disciples. He says to go. And the interesting thing is, Jesus says in other parts, especially in John, he says, we're to go the way he did. And how did he come? He came to us. God incarnated himself into our world. We're called to go into people's world. I heard once at a youth workers convention, this youth pastor, he talked about how we're supposed to go, and he says to youth, he says, you know, you can't become a youth, and he's speaking to a bunch of, you know, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 40-somethings again, but he's saying what you do is you sit on the steps with them and sit with them in their lives. And I thought that image is beautiful, is who do we sit with? Who do you sit with? Because that's what talking Jesus out of the box is we walk and we sit with someone and we walk with them in their life. We incarnate into people's lives. I've asked various people, some church staff members, to come up and share for a couple minutes. So we're going to be up here for about an hour, hour and a half. For a couple minutes each about how they take Jesus out of the box this time of the year. How they're called, and we're all called, as we begin this new year, to see a new and rejuvenated faith in our lives. We have this facility that's going to be renovated and going to be finished in a couple months. We have new life forming, new ministries, and then our own lives. And so how are we called not to just to be in this box of Christ the King, but how we're called to be out in the world? Because that's why we're building this. That's why God said this. Because he did not say, when he was leaving, Jesus did not say, I want you to sit in the church, in this building. Because really, the church is the body of believers gathered in word and sacrament and sent. So I've asked Sarah Green, our children's pastor, to come up. Kyle Hearn, our youth pastor. They both also touch on outreach. Justin Harris, who works with men's ministry and community groups. And Holly Armstrong, who works with our women's ministries, to kind of come on up. And they're going to share a little bit here about taking Jesus out of the box. And so I'm excited to hear what they have to say. So Sarah?
I get to lead it off. But as far as children and families, just want to speak to you on that, of how do we live out of the box? So when, you know, a lot of you have your kids back there right now in children's ministry, and we get 1 hour with your kids each week to be able to share about Jesus, to be able to plant those seeds. But there's 168 hours in a week. We get one with your child as you come in here to this building. So the other 167 hours, that's yours. You guys have so much more impact on your child and their relationship with Jesus than we ever will. So grasp that for a moment. And so I just want to challenge you today. How do we live out of the box as you raise your children, as you are with your kids, whether they're babies or whether they're in high school, you know, being ready to send off into the adult world? It's never too late to be able to live out of the box. In a month, you know, you may come to church every Sunday. We get 4 hours with you. But there's over 700 hours in a month. So you as parents, you have such, you know, an ability of you know, some of those hours are spent sleeping, thankfully. But you have so many hours that you're able to invest. And so how does that look of how you're able to share Jesus with your family, to live on mission as a family, and to plant those seeds with your kids when they're young, to be able to live out of the box and to grow in their relationship with Jesus? I've seen that in the Armstrong family. They have a jar on their kitchen table. And I was just seeing her post on Facebook yesterday of how they throughout the entire year have this jar and they have little slips of paper that they are able to write gratitude on, or ways that they see God working, or things that they're thankful for, blessings throughout the year. And then on December 31st, they pull all of those out and then are able to share, this is how God's been working all year long. And this is how we're giving him glory and we're seeing him move. The Bierma family, it's just been beautiful to see them with a 2, 4, 6, and 8-year-old just here on move day, you know, pulling stuff out of the Connex with all their kids here serving together at Southwest Middle School Beautification Day, at Lake Wylie Elementary, here at the Christmas Festival. But to bring your family all together and to be serving together, that's what it is outside of just, here's my 1 hour on Sunday morning in Sunday school. But that's family saying, this is a priority of how are, you know, teaching my kids, what is gratitude? What is serving others? What is serving our community? But that's really where we go out of the box and we're able to share with our kids the value of the deep relationship with Jesus. Just like it says in Proverbs 22:6 of train up your child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. So let's just live out of the box and how we serve our kids and teach them. So,
Thank you, Sarah, so much. And thank you for all the ministry you do. We know, especially over the last couple weeks, there's a lot of Christmas stuff in children's ministry. So I want to thank you and commend you for all your work and your team. So thank you for what you do. Kyle?
So with youth ministry specifically, if you think of youth ministry that's in the box, the stereotypes could be things such as just a fun place to hang out, a safe place to hang out, a place for the church to fix your messed up kids or teach them how to be respectful when they're not being respectful as you wish, or to go on mission trips just to be grateful for the hot water they have or the meals they have on their table. That might be a youth ministry in the box. But I think of a youth ministry out of the box is a place where we can walk with our young people. As you were saying, sit with. Because today's generation of young people have actually the same levels of anxiety as a psychiatric patient in the 1950s, according to the American Psychological Association. The same level of anxiety. And we may be shocked by that, but most of us actually probably are nodding our heads. Like, yeah, we get that. We've seen that. We understand that. And so how can we be like Jesus at the woman with the woman at the well and sit with our young people, but point them to God's grace and to God's truth as Jesus did with love and empathy with the woman at the well? How do we sit with them? But then also, how do we say that it's not just about walking with you or sitting with you or being a listening ear, but it's about pointing you to the cross, which will bring you freedom, because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and then pointing you to who you really are. So your identity, giving you a people, and then your belonging, giving you a place to be, and then your mission, giving you a purpose. That's something all of us need in our lives, but especially our young people, right? A people, a place, and a purpose. And we can provide that as the church. And seeing especially purpose. If we can find our purpose when we're 13, when we're 17, when we're 18, how's that going to change the trajectory of our life? When we start making these decisions for ourselves of where we're going to attend school, what we're going to study, what we're going to be passionate about, what we're going to invest our lives and our relationships towards, how to do that with God's guidance. And especially purpose, to realize that when God calls us out of something and into freedom, he calls us into mission, right? And seeing our young people actually be the church today has been incredible. Serving on things like cameras, worship team, greeting, coffee here, being the church today. So that the church can be more vibrant, more alive, more passionate, and our young people can see that God has chosen them right now. Not later when they get their master's degree, but right now. And that there's people to walk with them through the failures and the muck and the confusion of it all in the process. And to show them grace and truth. And one story I want to share briefly about that and seeing the youth get out of the box was at Southwest Middle School. There's a Bible club that we have, a student-led Bible club, and we meet weekly over there to share the gospel with each other, encourage each other, do service projects on the school to share the love of Jesus. And the whole mission is fulfill the Great Commission on your school's campuses, at public schools. And we can do this. And there's open doors wide open for us to do this. And our youth and some of our team came up with the idea of how do we encourage our teachers and staff that are exhausted, that are feeling weak, that are feeling drained over at Southwest Middle School and just need some love and someone to lift up their arms and see their hard work. So we said, let's do some encouraging cards. And we found out that this is a wide open door where students could write anything they wanted about the love of Jesus, any Bible verse they could. Now, us adults, we couldn't because the policy's in place, but our students could. So our students there and at the church wrote over 200 evangelistic cards to all of the staff and teacher and faculties, delivered them by hand to the mailboxes and to some in person. And as they were doing that, the principal walks by. My first thought was, okay, how are they going to react? And they just lit up. And who's going to be mad at that, right? They just lit up and they got to read the words of hope, read the gospel, read their young people sharing the love of Jesus on their campus, living globally and locally. I think about that. How can our young people live a global lifestyle? How can we live a global lifestyle with our young people, living out God's mission globally and locally, in the church, in our schools, in our friend groups, and beyond? And just seeing our youth get out of the box to, we'll do whatever we can to creatively serve God and share God wherever we go. It's been incredible to see.
Thank you, Kyle. And I know how hard it is to do youth ministry. You and your team have done an excellent job of, like you said, walking with these kids, sitting with them, taking them out, listening to them. It's so hard right now to be an adolescent, and you and your team have done an amazing job making them feel like they belong and that they're loved in the name of Jesus Christ. So thank you. And Justin Harris.
Yep. Good morning, church. I was asked to speak on behalf of men's ministry, so no pressure, but...
You're speaking for every man.
Yeah. So I've got three things I want to hit on in terms of out of the box. The first is how we serve as men. So traditionally, when you think of as a man, like how you serve in the church, some churches put all the men on the parking team. Or you may be asked, hey, we need a couple guys to to run the grill for an event, or we need something fixed. And I was trying to think of some good examples around the church of how men can serve in an out-of-the-box way, and I immediately thought of children's ministry. So we typically think of, that's, something that women have gifts for, but men do as well. And a good example I thought of was in our society and in this church, not every child has a male or fatherly influence in their life or a positive one. So we have a couple men that serve in children's ministry, and they may be the only male or fatherly influence that a child that comes to church here gets for that week. So they're getting to see, a male influence pray, teach, and lead, and really pour into their lives and learning about Jesus. So that's one of the out-of-the-box ways that men can serve in the church, just one. There's many. The second thing is community groups. So right now we have two men's community groups here in the church, and we're looking to grow that in 2023. Since I've joined a community group, it's been instrumental in my walk with Christ. So, it's not just a Bible study, just having the community and the fellowship with the others, whether you're celebrating good things in life or struggles, having a group in your corner really makes a difference. A good example I was thinking of a cool memory my group has is this past summer we had a pool party and invited all of our friends together and our family, and we had a cookout, and Pastor Bill was invited as well, and went to the pool, hung out at the pool, and then did a fireworks celebration together with all of our families, and that's what it's really about. We try to do something like that monthly. So if you're a man and you're not involved in a community group, I want to encourage you to join one so that you get to take part in that as well. And actually, after the service, if you want to talk to me about it or Pastor Bill, we'd love to get you connected. The third thing is men's ministry, just in general. So if you think of community groups like at the micro level, men's ministry at the macro level. So over the past year, we've had a couple men's cookouts right here outside the church at the fire pit. We did cornhole tournaments, had guest speakers. We're looking to be more consistent with that in 2023 and throw some more event ideas out there. So I'd say if you're a man in church here and once those events get posted, just show up. That's all we ask, is we're trying to get all the men in the church just to show up. So come get a bite to eat and hang out. So those are some three ways, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Justin, so much. And Justin, and Justin's been a big driving force pushing me to make sure we have men's events and activities. And I want to thank you, Justin, for this last year for that. And he's been a key organizer. And I want to encourage any of you guys to be able to come up to Justin, ask him about what we've been doing. And it's just like he said, it's just not an activity. It's about growing together as husbands, fathers, men. It's an exciting time to see that we're starting to do stuff and we're moving in Jesus Christ's name. And then Holly, I want to bring up about women's ministry. And so Holly Armstrong.
Good morning. First of all, I wanted to say that what I'm about to say is not just for the women. So men, I don't want 50% of the population just tuning out.
We won't tune out, trust me.
But I'm a storyteller, if you know me. So I wanted to kind of illustrate women's ministry and what it means to be out of the box, to tell you about Meemaw. So when I was a young bride, Kevin, my husband, he affectionately called his grandmother Meemaw. So she instantly became my Meemaw. And I used to go over there once a week, and she was teaching me to crochet. Well, trying to teach me to crochet. I'm still terrible at it. But she was trying to teach me to crochet. I was young, and I was busy. I was a new bride. I was going to grad school. I was working full time. I was teaching the community college. But I wanted the time. I didn't have to go see her, but I just desired to be near her. She just gave me this unconditional love and acceptance that was just so needed in my life. So every week I would go over there, and she just had such patience with me. And she's really the reason I started going back to church. I took a very long hiatus of attending and even believing during my college years. But she went to church, and I wanted to be more like her. So we started going to church. And throughout that time, Kevin and I both became believers and followers of Jesus. And now our children are being raised to be followers. So most people think of women's ministry they think about the extravagant events, the tea parties, the cookie exchanges, the women speakers, those big corporate events. And I love those. I really do love them. But that's not what women's ministry is really about, or men's ministry. So I want you men to stick with me. But you're designed to live out your very own personal ministry. And when I think about your personal ministry, whether it's men's or women's, youth or children, I just think about these three very important things that each ministry needs to contain. One, you need to get closer to God daily. James tells us to draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And thinking about the women, I think of cups of tea. And we want to be infused with God daily. We don't want to just stick the tea bag in and pull it right back out. No, we want to sit and let it steep. And that's kind of what we need to be with God's presence each day in our lives. Two, we need to be willing to be discipled. Disciple is a churchy word, but it means to learn, to follow, to become more like. Titus 2 says it's the responsibility of the older women to teach the younger women. And on the flip side, to me that means it's the responsibility of the younger women to want to learn from the older women. So anyone who's further down the spiritual path than you can boost and benefit your faith. Observe those around you, see how they speak to their children, how they speak to and about their husbands, how they speak about their children's teachers. If you see Jesus shining in their life in any way, they could be a mentor to you, and you could ask them officially, will you disciple me? Will you mentor me? But it might not work. Just join their community group, as Justin was saying. Just be in their life circle and learn from them, and don't be afraid to ask questions. I know I've been part of a women's Bible study on Friday mornings for the last 15 years, women who are seasons down the path from me with children and grandchildren and some great-grandchildren, and they've taught me so much. And number three, I think it's important to be willing to disciple. Bill, everybody's already talked about this, so I'll keep that one short. But there's so many people who could learn from you. And if you're sitting here breathing, you have an experience, you have something that can benefit somebody else. It might be learning to crochet, it might be playing the guitar, something that you can teach to somebody else, and that just might be the hook or the crochet hook that gets them back into church. So I'm an educator, I need to review, and men, I wanted to make sure the men were listening. Those three things again: one, seek God more, seek him daily. Two, be willing to grow, to be discipled, and to learn from others. And three, don't keep all that beautiful knowledge to yourself. Be willing to share it with others and go make disciples.
Thank you so much, Holly. Really, over the last 2 years, the women's ministry here is exploded and been growing. We have community groups that are women, and we need more community groups for women, which is great. And you, like you said, the activities are a point to bring women together in the name of who Jesus Christ is. So Holly, thank you. And there's other women who've been helping out, Charlotte and Julie Holmquist. It's been an amazing to be able to see women start taking ownership and moving things forward. So I want to thank the four of you guys again. So thank you so much. You know, and these are just a couple of the ways as we look at taking church out of the box. I mean, I help oversee community groups and prayer ministry and care ministry, and we'll be talking a little bit more about those over the next couple of weeks. But I want to encourage you to be able to be in community. All four of these people talked about being in community in some way. When we think about going out of the box, we can't do it alone. We need people to pull us, and we need to pull other people. Sometimes we need people to kick us, and sometimes we need to be able to be those people who are kicking other people. And that's an amazing thing about community, is coming together in the name of Jesus Christ and to be able to love each other. So I want to encourage you as we get towards that time period of community group signups at the end of the month. So one of the things I want to touch on briefly real quick is that passage in Acts 1, 8 through 11, that last verse. It's going to be up on the screen behind me. And it says this. It said, and it said, men of Galilee. So these are the angels. So Jesus ascended to heaven. And these angels are left here talking to these disciples' followers. He said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him going into heaven. So Jesus ascends to heaven, and immediately the angels appear, and the angels are saying, what are you doing here? Go. It's not like, I want you to think about this for a little while. Why don't you guys go back and have a little Bible study? Why don't you guys do this? So the angels say to these men, go. Go now. Why are you still here? The implication is that we're called to go. Too often times, we just want to sit. And when we sit longer and longer and longer, we put ourselves in this little box and fear grows inside of us. And so we're called to go now. This year is beginning. I want you to think about what is one area that you could think about. I need to grow out of the box in this area. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's women's ministry. Maybe it's men's ministry. Maybe it's joining a group. Maybe it's volunteering. Maybe it's doing something with your family every day. Maybe you decide, you know, we don't pray enough as a family. So at the meal, we're going to pray together as a family. And just not a meal, but we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask, we're going to go around and share, where have we seen Jesus maybe in this week or this day? What is one area where you need to grow, you and your family to grow, so you can be out of the box and be different than this last year? So I want you to think about that. I mean, y'all have cell phones, or most of you are going to have cell phones. So I'm going to give you permission to take out your cell phones if you want. And write down, text yourself, put on your notes, what's one area where you can feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit taking you out? Now, every year, I preach the last Sunday of the year. And so next year, 2023, whatever that last Sunday is I'm preaching, I'm going to ask you all, what have you done? You think I'm going to forget it? I won't. I'm going to set myself a reminder. I will text myself. I'll put in my notes. I'm going to ask you, and I'll probably send out reminders throughout the year, is where's one area that you need to live out of the box better with your faith? And I want you guys to be able to share them next year. I'm going to ask you to guys write them down. We'll turn them in or text them to me or email them to me. And I want to be able to share them with us next time I preach at the end of the year. And as we look at this and grow in discipleship this year, because that's what we're really talking about, is how we grow in disciples, is that coming up, starting next week, is our kickoff for the year, really, for 21 days of prayer and fasting. We have several people in this congregation, 21 people wrote in devotions and fasting. You're going to be next week handed a booklet when you leave here with all these devotions and ways to fast to draw us closer into relationship with Christ. Everyone is going to be praying the same thing. Everyone's going to be reading these same devotions and diving deep. And the theme is new beginnings. And in the beginning, God created. Think about that. This is January 1st. What is God creating in your life? What are you praying about for this year? For your family, for your friends, for your street, for your country? And God calls us then in this passage just not to pray about it, but to go and do and to have that action in our lives. And also next week, we're beginning this series off of our new beginnings called Devotion on how we grow in Christ, become those disciples that Christ is wanting us to be. And that's what Pastor Craig's going to kick off next week with. And I want to just encourage you, think about that verse. Write it down. In the beginning, God created. What is God creating in your life right now? What is one thing that he is going to create in you? And so as we live out this hope in Christ this coming year, I just want to offer a prayer and a blessing up to that. I'm going to call up our prayer partners here in a moment, but I just want to pray over us for this year. Father God, as we seek to live out of the box, to take our faith out of these doors, out into our community, our neighborhoods, our families, our streets, our schools, our sports teams, what is one thing you want to do in our lives? Put that on each heart right now. Whether you're here, whether you're online, wherever you are right now, what is one thing you're asking that God create in you? In the beginning, God created. And Lord, I just ask a blessing on this congregation and their families and friends, that we live in the hope, the expectation, that we know that Jesus Christ has us and the ups and downs that Jesus Christ has us. Lord God, I ask you to bless this congregation in your son's most holy name, and God's children said, amen, amen.